Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Welcome once again to Labors of Love, where we bring the labors of love from the diocese straight to you. I'm here with my special guest, Sister Rose, from the Mother Teresa Shelter with Catholic Charities in the Diocese of Corpus Christi. How are you, Sister?
I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad to have you here. In order for us to get to know more about you, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I am a religious sister belonging to the Sisters of the Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. My religious order has its mother house in India, and I came to the United States in 2002 at the request of Bishop Edmund Carmody, who was the bishop of the Diocese of Corpus Christi at that time. I'm happy to introduce Linda McKimmy, the Executive Director of Catholic Charities. She's actually is the role model for me and a great inspirer who energizes to me to do whatever I can for the homeless brothers and sisters here.
Well, I also work with Linda, and it's great to work with her. She has this energy about her and this enthusiasm.
You're right.
And she is an expert there at Catholic Charities, so I also enjoy her company. And I remember when I came on board myself a couple of years ago, Sister, the enthusiasm that Bishop Mulvey and our Vicar General, Monsignor Kinnaman, have with Catholic Charities and the Mother Teresa Shelter is phenomenal also. And you can just tell in their faces when they start to gleam and in their eyes that they're so dedicated to what you do in ministry there. So I'm glad that you mentioned them. Thank you for that.
Sure.
Go ahead and share with us what the Mother Teresa Shelter is, please.
Mother Teresa Shelter is a nonprofit, faith-based organization providing day shelter and supporting services to the homeless. It is designed to help the community meet the needs and demands of our homeless population.
And what now? Your clients are homeless people, but sometimes our audience might not understand what it means, what got them there, what it means to be homeless. What are some of the reasons why your clients became homeless in the first place?
The main reason most of the clients are, they are psychologically disorders. They are not mentally stable. And some of them, they don't have any family member. They don't know where they're coming from. They don't know who their parents. It's a very sad story. And some of them, like, you know, in their early ages, maybe, you know, they are doing bad things in their life and the family, you know, make them leave from their house, and that's make them homeless.
Okay, because I know that we see people on the side of the roads trying to collect money. They have signs that say, I'm homeless, can you help? And I've heard stories where people wonder why they're homeless, and that determines whether or not they're going to help them.
Right.
But the fact is we really can't think of why they're homeless or what they're going to use the money for. We're called to serve regardless. Would you agree with that?
So I'm not, actually.
Okay.
Because the reason is, I believe some people use that money for bad habits.
Okay.
Like alcohol, drugs, like that. If, according to my opinion, if some homeless, if they ask you money for, if they're hungry or, you know, something like that, go get some food and feed them. That's much better than give them money.
Than giving them money, so
yes.
Feeding them. Well, thank you for that advice, because some people do get conflicted and they're really not sure what to do. Mm-hmm. So if they're asking for some food, going and you feel it in your heart to serve them,
right.
Get some food and bring it back to them.
Yeah. And also, another chance they can do also, you know, in the Corpus Christi City, we have a different type of shelters. You can support the shelters. Because anyway, we are supporting the homeless. We can get more donations, more support from other people, then we can give more services for the homeless.
Okay, so monetary support as well as volunteer time?
Yes, absolutely.
Wonderful. Can you also share when the shelter was opened and what your hours are? How does the shelter function on a day-to-day basis?
It was opened September 8, 2003. And we open, the shelter is open 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. We are open 365 days a year.
That's good to hear.
Yeah. And we also provide celebrations during holidays like Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving, and like that.
Are you able to take me through a typical day in the shelter? You start with, I understand, breakfast in the morning, and what goes on a day-to-day basis?
Breakfast in the morning, 8 o'clock, and after that, 10:30, we serve like a snack. Even I said a snack, it's like a meal because we're getting a lot of food donations. And 2 o'clock, we serve snack. Most of the time, 2 o'clock is a pastries.
Okay, and are they able to wash their clothes? I remember going on a tour at the shelter.
Yes, yes.
Or take a shower.
Yes, we have a shower facilities and laundry services and lockers for personal belongings and phone and internet services and bus tokens to get to go places they need to go and MHMR services that provide diagnosis for psychiatric disorders and prescribes medicines. And the health department conducts blood tests towards diagnosing HIV and hepatitis, like that.
Okay, so there's other services that you offer other than just having a place or a facility for them to stay during the day.
Yes, yes, yeah, because we refer other agencies and other agencies coming to the shelter too.
Okay, well, now I understand that you have a multi-purpose activity and therapeutic center, but before we get to that, we also have two seminarians here, Charles and Abran, future priest Scott Willing of the Diocese of Corpus Christi, and you have been helping Sister Rose at the Mother Teresa Shelter. Can you share, we'll start with Charles, can you share some of your experiences there, please?
Well, definitely it's a very humbling experience to see what, to help those who don't have anything. And I know that every day I go in, I wake up and it's too early. And at the end of the day, I'm definitely like, I'm glad I got to help somebody, because when you see these people, you're seeing the treasure of the church, as one saint used to say, and you're seeing the face of Jesus in each person you meet.
So you treasure the experiences.
Yes.
And also the people that you encounter on a day-to-day
yes,
basis.
Definitely, yes.
So in the morning, even though it's hard to get up, you're glad that you're there.
They're my motivation to get up.
Wonderful. Well, that's good to hear. And how about you, Abran?
You know, our discernment in our vocations to the priesthood, this experience at the Mother Teresa Shelter has not only nourished that term of vocation, but our first vocation, which is to love God with all our hearts and then to serve our brothers and sisters and love them. You know, I think of anything that the Mother Teresa Shelter has really nourished, that is to say no to ourselves and say yes more to God. And Charles is right. You really see Jesus through a lot of these people. And the reality is that we, you know, they've made bad choices. You know, some of them have made bad choices. Some of them have just been dealt a really hard set of cards. The reality is that any of us can be there at any time of our lives. You know, if that's what we're called to live. So it's an honor to really help these people and to just help them find Christ and to really be able to proclaim the word of God through our actions and through our love and through mercy. I think it's beautiful.
Can you share maybe a particular experience that you've had recently? I know that you've been there about a month or so. Is there anything that really stood out to you in your experience there?
The very first week, I want to be careful with identity, but
of course,
there was a gentleman that I met who is 24 years old, which is my age. And he was an example of somebody that made a bad decision. And now he's, in a way, he's reaping the consequences of that. And it made me look at faith in general, how we take it for granted, even being able to believe in God, being able to freely go to church, go to mass, go to ministry, go to Bible study. And a lot of those opportunities are not in his plans, or at least they're not as easy to him as they are to us. His main worry is, what am I going to eat today?
Where am I going to stay?
Where am I going to stay? So it was very humbling to have. I really went home the first week that I was at the shelter, and I remember crying before I ate dinner because of how long I had taken even a dinner for granted. And so he opened up my eyes greatly, and it was I thanked God for allowing me to meet him.
Well, I'm going to let our audience reflect on that during our quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Multipurpose Activity and Therapeutic Center, as well as our recently opened transitional housing. Stay with us on Labors of Love.
This is Labors of Love.
If we must endure the heat of summer, at least we can enjoy some great Texas barbecue to help us forget about it. Saturday, August 5th, St. George Parish, 304 Crockett Street in George West, will be serving delicious South Texas barbecue with all the trimmings and fabulous homemade desserts from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. You can eat there or take meals home to the family. There'll be a live auction, country store and market, games for adults and children, and a great time for all. To hear all about it, call the parish office, 361-449-1893.
Again, thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I have as my guest today Sister Rose, who is with Mother Teresa Shelter. And I have Charles and Abran, who are seminarians for the Diocese of Corpus Christi and, God willing, future priests as well. Before our break, Abran gave us an experience that he shared. I hope you all were able to reflect on that before the break or during the break. But now, Charles, I'd like to go to you. And can you share an experience that you've had at the shelter?
You know, one of the experiences that I've experienced there at the shelter would have to be helping Robert McGovern, who's one of the homeless there, and he's suffering from liver cancer, and we came to the shelter not really knowing Robert, but he came to us and he was wanting to get become fully initiated into the Catholic Church, and so this past Sunday at St. Peter's we confirmed him there at the Mass. Bishop Carmody confirmed him, and I had the honor to be his godfather. And it was just a great experience to see how much faith he has. You may not see their faith too much, but deep down inside, all of them really do have a great amount of faith. And you know, it's as I told him, I said, we're teaching CCD to him, and I said, you know, Robert, we're teaching you, but you're really the one teaching us by the way you live your life. I said, you don't have to say nothing. It's just by your example and by the way you live. I thought that was a great experience.
So is it just humbling to see the type of person he is and the desire he has to learn about the faith?
Yes, it definitely is. So.
Well, thank you for sharing. Now, Sister, we also have the Multipurpose Activity and Therapeutic Center that you're heavily involved in, as well as our transitional housing. Can you speak to us about those two facilities, please?
We opened the Multipurpose and Therapeutic Center last October 2011 to meet the needs of the homeless persons. These programs include reading, writing, art therapy, music therapy, horticulture, gardening, a computer lab, and sports therapy, and others, actually to establish movement towards self-sufficiency.
I remember, as a matter of fact, going to that blessing, and you have what's called a continuum of care, to where you're not just providing a roof over someone's head, but you're actually providing therapeutic services. So you mentioned a computer lab. I think you have some art classes. They learn about gardening, things like that.
Yes.
How does that help a homeless person in that continuum of care?
Actually, they can get out from their stress mentally, physically, and psychologically. Because they come to the shelter and take a shower and do the laundry, we feed them. That's the primary thing. But the secondary, they get some stress, get out from their mind, their heart. That helps the homeless to think right.
I recently had a professor tell me that during difficult times, look for some task attacks. Find a task and attack it. and just do it over and over again. And one of the things that came to my mind was painting, because it's very therapeutic for me. Right. Now, I have no idea how to paint. I don't know how to paint anything, but it's just a lot of fun, and it's exciting to see the colors come out on the canvas and see my end product. So I can see how these services help the homeless, those receiving the services, the clients, in their healing process. So that was a great blessing ceremony. And are the homeless utilizing that facility?
Absolutely. They are using it. Mainly, they use a lot of computer, and a lot of people using the painting, and some people use the writing and reading.
So they're also learning some skills that will benefit them.
Yes.
All right, in the job market. So we're not just, again, putting a roof over their heads, but we're actually wanting to develop them as people and offer them skills, and then, of course, make it therapeutic.
Right.
Is that a good summary?
Yes.
But then, to top that off, Catholic Charities now has a transitional housing unit. And as a matter of fact, I'm on the board for the transitional housing, and I'm very honored to be on that board.
Thank you.
And tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. We opened this home on March 23rd, 2012. Is a community-based program. It helps people housed independently. With the opening of the Mother Teresa Transitional Housing, we give the homeless people a jump start to a home feeling. Actually, that's their home, you know. They can feel it at their home. It is independent to enrich the individual physically, mentally, and spiritually. For people with no home, we provide a private room with a shared kitchen, dining, and living areas. It could be the hand up they need to succeed. They get 3 cooked meals and 2 snacks, and laundry facilities, dog kennel for their best friend, and mental health manager to talk with. Actually, it can become a life-changing opportunity for them.
So if I'm summarizing this properly, you have clients that come to the Mother Teresa shelter. And about how many people would you say on average?
Around 140 people on a daily basis.
On a daily basis. Mm-hmm. But then you also provide them some therapeutic services with the multipurpose activity and therapeutic center. But apart from that, in this continuum of care, you offer them permanent residence for a certain amount of time.
Right.
You know, this is a hand up for them to move forward. And I understand there's 24 rooms available.
Yes.
And as you mentioned, 4 people or 4 men would be living together, but they're able to have a shared living area. They have cooked meals. They're able to wash their clothes. I've been to the facility, and it's beautiful, as a matter of fact, newly renovated.
Yes.
And this will help them establish a schedule. You also help them find employment. Is that correct?
Right.
Uh-huh. Okay.
If they would like to work.
And this is all for a low monthly rate.
Yes.
Okay, because that might be the holdup for some of the people that are homeless. They're not able to afford the rents in the apartments. Mm-hmm. Not only that, credit scores might have been damaged, and so it's very hard to even pass the application.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I know I've been in a few interviews, and it was a great experience with those that I was able to interview with. So, Abraham and Charles, do you have any experience with the multipurpose activity and therapeutic center or the transitional housing that you'd like to share?
The transitional housing, I would like to say that it really is just that. It's a transitional housing. It is perfect. I have spoken with some of the clients, the homeless clients that we have there, not at the transitional housing, but at the shelter, and they've describe their experiences with where some of them are directly homeless. Some of them really don't have a place to stay. Some of them are trying to get off their feet, so they live at efficiencies, or they live at not so good areas.
Yeah, substandard areas.
And they're essentially paying the same price as they would at the transitional housing, but the quality of their stay is not it's not that great. The transitional housing. It's a really beautiful facility. I've been there several times. I work there every now and then because Sister Rose tells me to. But it really is a beautiful place. And I want to stress that each client has their own room. They just live in a quad area. I would really say, you know, being an ex-college student, I just graduated.
Congratulations.
This place really is better than a dorm room. I can honestly say that. I've been there and I was amazed by how good of a place it is.
And the community feel too.
I think, you know, according to other apartment, everything like that, the rent is also very cheap. It's not too high because I know I deal with the different landlords for other clients. And always, you know, rent is always more than 400. And if you see that place, the different apartments, it's not look like our Mother Teresa transitional house. Totally different.
Well, sister, I'm glad you mentioned that because some people might ask, well, how is a homeless person supposed to be able to afford something like that? But the fact is that some of your clients, if not most, do actually work.
Right.
People do offer them work, and so they're able to save up some money. Right. And we're saving up our money to provide a sheltered for ourselves and to be able to feed ourselves. So it's possible.
Right, right.
For the homeless person to go through this continuum of care and come out successful.
Yeah, right. Yeah, true. They can do it, you know, because $350 per month that we ask you in the rent. So that's nothing, you know, because they have a food, they have a laundry, they have a shower, they have everything in the house.
That's right. You mentioned that they have three meals per day. Now, sister, we're coming to the close of this segment of Labors of Love, but how is it possible to maintain these three facilities? I can imagine that it's a huge monetary endeavor and there's a lot of funding and volunteer hours that have to come into play, but how does Linda and how do you all make this happen?
Well, we get funding from two sources. One is individuals, families, church groups, actually Catholic and non-Catholic, that provide donations such as food, clothing, and a lot of supplies, different type of supplies. And also be getting primarily from grants from Catholic Charities of Diocese of Corpus Christi. And the second one is the form of volunteers such as youth group who help out by doing voluntary services at the shelter. And we have also had many individual volunteers who have dedicated many years of services to work here at the shelter.
May God bless them. And I'm so glad that you mentioned these shelters and these the transitional housing is available for people of all faiths. We're here to serve everyone and to see the face of Christ in everyone. Thank you all for being with us on Labors of Love.
Thank you. Thank you, Margaret.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's sacred moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
Have you ever noticed those people who go speeding by you in their car, racing to get in front of everyone? And how often does it turn out that you pull up next to them at the next traffic light? If you haven't noticed these people, it might be because it's you. In our family, we commonly refer to this as the hurry-up-and-wait behavior. We see it all the time. People rushing to be first somewhere, only to get there and wait while everyone else catches up to them. Every day we spend a fair amount of time waiting in line at the grocery store, waiting to see the doctor, waiting on a coworker to finish a task so we can begin our part of it. We are often frustrated by the waiting because it reminds us that we are not in control. And yet if we stop and think about it, maybe waiting is not such a bad thing. It affords us a few moments to slow down and reorder our thinking, to redirect or reconsider certain actions we may be contemplating. Waiting is not a passive exercise. In fact, there is much action in waiting, and it calls for our active participation. The people of the Old Testament waited. They waited for freedom from slavery, for fulfillment of the covenants, and for the right to worship freely. While they waited, they lived, laughed, cried and died, waiting until the fullness of time. Their years of waiting were not wasted. No, during their time of waiting, they grew closer to God as their longings became greater. Waiting plays a part in God's plan of salvation. It bears the responsibility of revelations of His presence. When we waited in line today, how did we respond? Did we complain, or did we offer patience to others who were complaining? Did we seek to discover God in our moments of waiting? Did we even stop for a moment to think how long God has waited for us? Waited for us to turn to Him in prayer, to seek forgiveness, or perhaps to offer love to another who is waiting for the promise of God's love in their life. Wow, could it be that we have been given a task while we wait, the task to watch for His presence around us, in one another, or in our own person? When we are called to wait, let us be patient, for we are called to live now, and now is the time to be with God. We are not guaranteed any time except the present, the now of this moment. If we spend it in frustration or anger, rushing to pass it by, we may well miss the moment we have spent our whole life seeking. Now is the time to know Him and reveal Him to others. It is a time for growing closer to Him. And where better to find Him than among those with whom He has placed us? May our everyday waiting be an opportunity to come ever closer to God. May it be a moment in which we set aside our own desires and self-importance, which may blind us to His nearness. And may we accept the gift of waiting that God gives us. As we strive to embrace the labors of love to which we've been called, may we be reminded to slow down and enjoy the gift of one another's presence. Who knows? Maybe we'll recognize God's presence right in our daily midst while we wait for the next moment. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my three guests, Sister Rose, Abran, and Charles, seminarians for the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you would like more information, please call her at 361-883-7372. And for more information, visit MotherTeresaShelter.org. Thanks again for being with us on Labors of Love.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.